God bless you, Pastor. I think you're muted.
Pastor, unmute, please, Pastor. We can't hear our pastor.
Pastor, you're muted.
Okay, Saints, so nobody could hear me. Thanks very much for that. God bless, Saints. Welcome to the Bible study. We are wanting to continue on this evening from where we started last week. So last week we started looking at the power of communication, and we'd like to continue that on this evening, having a look at the power of sympathy. It's a thought, it's not going to be everything we look at this evening. We'd like to continue on and just progress onwards, but you want to cover that topic because it's a very integral part of this one of communication. So when we're speaking about the power of communication, we started looking last week at the four powers of communication, and we wanted to look at how to develop these things because it's so very important, communication in every aspect of life. In our Christian calling, we can never really go so far or as far as we possibly could have to reach full potential if we get a bit stunted in our growth in communication, because we are called to the family of God. We're not called to be by ourselves. We're called to relate one to another. Paul speaks of us that, like the members of the body, each and every one of us are so related and connected to one another. So in order for the body to function correctly, this would be a very, very important thing. When you get on to communication in families and relationships and so forth, that's obviously a big one as well. That's a very, very vital thing to have the right kind of communication in a family and in any relationship with one another. So we saw last week, the first power was expressing yourself. So we saw that it's not a little bit easier than it sounds. You know, it sounds easier than it actually is. The power of expressing yourself. And normally this is a progression, as we saw last week. You open yourself up, you unveil yourself, you really reveal the real you to somebody as they gain confidence in your eyes, as your relationship deepens with somebody. You generally open up more and more as time goes by. And it brings us to that one of the right people in the right place at the right time. You know, so you wanted to make sure that you open up more of the sacred sands to the right people at the right place at the right time. Opening up that kind of a realm to the wrong person can lead you to a lot of hurt, can lead you to a lot of disappointment, because not everybody is ordained to share with you the different aspects that are on your inside life. You know, so those are things that we learn as we go by. And then we had a look at the second power. We got into this last week, listening and responding, because the ability to truly listen is a powerful tool. This is something which all of us would desire in our armory in a greater way. But it's not an ability which comes easily to many people. Now, the ability to be able to listen. We need to develop the skill, and the sooner the better. And the first part of that is realizing that we need to develop that skill. Because we're born in a certain way. We have a certain temperament. We live a certain life. And we don't really realize that Maybe we're not good at listening, or we're not good at communicating. We're not good at opening up. These are things we need help with. So we need to develop this skill. But you know, past experience and even the experiences we go through, these are the things that teach us the importance of these particular skills for good and for bad. Now we learn from the school of failure when you fail to communicate properly. And then we see the resulting frustrations and troubles and things that come in, and very unnecessarily, because if you had have communicated properly, it wouldn't have had to come to that. Because communication is the key to many of these things. And it's very important to learn from our mistakes on these things, you know, to glean the lessons from the mistakes of the past, as in anything which the Lord is willing to teach us. And this is one of the things that I do believe the Lord wants to teach us. So let's pray before we get on to this first key, that the Lord might bless and help us. Father, we pray for your leadership and your guidance, for your grace and your mercy, your blessing upon each and every heart. Father, your leadership, Lord, as we seek understanding from you. Father, open up your word to us. Open up our understanding upon this evening. Help us to see ourselves in your word, and give us wisdom, we pray, Father. And Lord, just develop in us and help us to be more like you, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first key just on listening is that good communicators must be good listeners. I think that's pretty self-evident, because communication is always two ways. So a good communicator is going to have to be somebody who's a good listener. And this is the key note, the keystone to building better relationships. If we could be better listeners, it'll help us to have better relationships. That's an absolute given. And secondly, it'll help us weigh in conflict resolution. You know, it'll help us to fight fires before they become unmanageable. It'll help us to deal with things in the right season, because there's going to be conflict, there's going to be problems, there's going to be misunderstandings. But good communicators who have developed the skill of good listening, now you're able to deal with the problem at the time that it needs to be dealt with, and not leave it until it becomes something maybe that it didn't have to become. Good communicators must be good listeners also, because you know, this life is full of team building, the desire, the requirement to build teams. Your family is a team. Church is a team. Sunday school is a team. Your group of friends, you can build a team. You know, whatever, ministry, when you're getting into ministry with different evangelists, they can build a team. So good communicators, especially good listeners, it's a very, very good skill in team building. It helps to build teams a lot quicker. If you can listen to what's in the hearts of other people, including criticism, and accept it the right way, it's going to help you to build a one accord with people a lot quicker than if you didn't, you know, that if you're not a good listener. We saw this quote last week. I'll just put it once again. The biggest communication problem is we do not listen to understand. We listen to reply. Now, that's bad listening. And we're all guilty of that at times, especially when there's emotion involved, when there's a past history in the particular thing we're dealing with, when we've allowed the pressure to build. It's so much easier just to speak, to wait for an opportunity to speak, than it is to wait with a listening, understanding heart, to try to understand what it is the other person is trying to say. Where are they coming from before we reply? Not formulating our reply while the person is talking, but really taking on board what they say. This is a very famous guy in communication. He says, listening is not understanding the words of the question asked. Listening is understanding why the question was asked in the first place. That's a very great wisdom inside of there. So it's not just so much listening to the words, because if people are emotionally, people are disappointed, people are frustrated, many times the words they say don't adequately describe the problem. And you find that the words they're saying don't really reflect the way that they're feeling, you know, because of the emotion, or maybe, you know what it's like when you're discussing things. It could be disappointment, whatever that it is, but you know, that internal pressure that comes, that builds, then you want to just unload on somebody and tell them why you're not happy with this, that, and the other. the true message of what you're trying to say, the true cry for help maybe that you're trying to give, it can be veiled by so many other words. You know, maybe you didn't even intend to say those other words, but just in frustration and whatever, you said a lot of things. But a good listener is going to take those things on board to the best that they possibly can and try to discern, try to understand, okay, what is really being said here? This person obviously feels it deeply, otherwise it wouldn't be expressing it in the way that they are. You can see they're quite emotional, they're quite built up, they're quite, I mean, maybe sometimes hot under the collar in what they're saying. So this must be very, very important to them. So what is it that they're really trying to say? And that's not an easy thing sometimes, especially when, you know, the pressure's built, the emotions start to run high. This one here says, we think we listen, but very rarely do we listen with real understanding, with true empathy, which is like sympathy, entering into the feelings of another person. It's not often that we do listen in that kind of way. Yet listening of this very special kind is one of the most potent forces for change that I know. Now that brings a revolution. That can bring reconciliation. That can bring restoration. That can be the start of the beginning of wonderful things if we can listen in that kind of a way. Now he's saying there, listening of this kind, you know, very rarely do we listen. Now, that's not true of believers. That's true maybe in the world. But a believer, we have the greatest tutor, which is the Holy Ghost. And he's leading us and guiding us and teaching us because he's bringing us to a certain place. And these skills and these abilities are very, very important in the body of Christ. Very important in your calling. Very important in building a one accord and so forth. So this will be something, obviously, the Holy Ghost himself will be teaching you. You know, so we do understand this. So that's why I'm just trying to reinforce it this evening. You know, I don't think the Lord has been doing his work. I mean, of course, he does all his work well. He's never going to leave this part of our lives without him personally dealing with us on this. So we just want to bring it home in that kind of a way. Proverbs 18:2. This is from the English Standard Version. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. That's foolish behavior, according to the Bible. That's a fool. Now, there's two kind of things. There's fools and there's the wise. The foolish virgin, the wise virgin. It's always the book of Proverbs. It's always a contrast between foolishness and wisdom. And this is showing this person has no wisdom. They take no pleasure in understanding, not really listening to what the other person is saying, but instead they just want to express their opinion. Now, Proverbs 18 says a lot about communication. It's a very good chapter. Verse 13 says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. You know, so you're answering before you hear. You're answering without an understanding. It's your folly. It's a shame to do that, the Bible says. And it never, ever brings anything good, does it? We've all learned that by experience. It always brings shame. It always brings foolishness. It always makes things worse. But it's just not an easy thing for us to do sometimes, especially if we're in a certain condition and things are built up over time. It's sometimes easy to be foolish in our communication. And it's just a pity because the Bible really does warn us of this. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and his shame. That's why we saw last week, every one of us should be quick to listen, slow to speak. That's what it says. It's a great, great, great key. Be quick to listen, understand, and be slow to speak. That would knock 95% of problems on the head. If we could do that, I do believe. So let's look at this one as we get into the sympathy. We get into having a look at this power of sympathy in communication. So we want to just go through something we've looked at before, just very briefly to get a background, of sympathetic resonance. Now, sympathetic resonance is when, well, sympathy, first of all, before we get into looking at sympathetic resonance, sympathy is common feeling. So you're feeling in common, you're feeling the same way about something, you have a sympathy. It's also relating harmoniously to something else or to someone else. So you're relating harmoniously, you're on the same frequency. There's a harmony between you, feeling the same thing. The word harmony means the state of being in agreement. So you're in agreement. And you can feel it when you click in that particular way in communication, when you click in fellowship, you know, when you connect with one another, you can feel it straight away. They say you're on the same page. Yeah. So you can really, really feel it. You have a common feeling. So we want to just have a look at this one of sympathetic resonance because we want to relate harmoniously. So we're going to have to be able to tune into somebody else's frequency because these are also musical terms. Many times easier said than done. But it's going to need a conscious decision. None of these things we're speaking about just take care of themselves. It's got to be an act of your will. You have to desire to understand somebody. You have to desire. You have to make a conscious choice. It's an act of your will. Like we said last week, many times it's an act of overcoming self. Yeah. To be slow to speak and quick to listen, to allow a person to express themselves. You have to overcome yourself, to give somebody a genuine ear, to listen generally to somebody. Many times it's a real discipline that we need to learn. It's something inside of ourselves we need to overcome to do that properly. But sympathetic resonance now is if you take two, well, the definition says sympathetic resonance or sympathetic vibration is a harmonic phenomenon wherein a formerly passive string, so your guitar string, your tuning fork, it's just sitting there doing nothing. You pluck the string, you hit the fork, and it vibrates now. And any other vibratory body responds, which has a harmonic likeness. So if those two tuning forks there are both tuned to C, if you ding one of them and put it near the other one, because of that vibration, because the other one is built to vibrate at that certain frequency, exactly the same frequency, the other one by itself is going to start ringing as well. The same as with the guitar string. You know, so the vibration of one generates a frequency. And the other one now, because it's able to relate to that frequency, it's made of the same material, it automatically responds in harmony, in sympathy with the other one. So it says, in similar fashion, strings will respond to the external vibrations of a tuning fork when sufficient harmonic relations exist. Now, if these two materials don't have sufficient relationship between them, you know, one material is just completely different than the other, you're never going to have this harmony between them, this sympathy that when one vibrates, the other one vibrates. You might have to tune your guitar in. If your tuning fork is a G, and then you're getting on your guitar and you're trying to tune it in, whatever your notes are, you're going to find that it doesn't tune in. Why doesn't it tune in? Why is it not vibrating in harmony? It's because it's not tuned in. So you've got to tune in. And that is the key in listening, is that ability to tune in to somebody else's frequency. So you can start receiving sympathetically, which is called empathy in the world. You can start feeling what somebody else is feeling. You can start entering into the feeling of what that person is trying to express. And it's such an important thing. That's how we sing the song about the sympathizing Jesus, you know, the great physician. And Jesus is able to be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. You know, and the amazing thing with Jesus is that despite all that men put him through, you know, lying about him and beating him and betraying him and selling him for silver and then lashing him, you know, falsely accusing him, crucifying him, he still, at the end of all of that, is the sympathizing Jesus. And now he made a choice, and it was a conscious choice, that the experiences that he experienced in the days of his flesh as a man, you know, those things that he went through, he uses those experiences so that he can enter into our feelings. That's why there was, you know, he needed to come down and be born and grow up and become a man so he could experience what we experience, so that there could be this sympathetic harmony between him and us. He can really feel what we are feeling. He can enter into the depth of our feeling. You know, so he can really sympathize. He can come and get into harmony with our feeling. He could have made a choice and allowed those feelings to embitter him. Yeah, if he had wanted, he was a man like us. He was tempted like us. He could have chosen not to forgive. He could have chosen not to pray for those people that crucified him. And he could have held on to the feeling of, you know, disappointment, betrayal, distrust. He could have brewed inside of him, become malice. He could have held on to that unforgiveness. It could have become a hatred. I mean, he could have done that because he was a man. He had to be tempted like us, but he chose, it was an act of his will to say, what I'm going through here, I'm going to use one of the most powerful things, which is the power of a committal. Abraham says, one of the most powerful things is the power of a committal, to commit something into the hands of God. So he committed everything into the hands of his father. He knew everything you're putting me through is for a purpose. It's to develop something inside of me. It's for me to learn something. And that's why he never allowed any of these painful things, bitter things that he went through, to change him from being the sympathizing Jesus. Because of that act of will, that choice that he made to commit everything into the hands of his father, to have the right attitude towards these things, they actually became the things that qualified him to become our high priest. So that's why you can see certain people, like people went through the Holocaust. Some people got so bitter and angry and rejected God because of the Holocaust. The same people in the same camp going to the same gas chamber embraced the Lord at that time. You know, the same events, the same circumstances we go through, to one person, it can ruin them. To another person, it can enrich them. It all depends on the choice that you make. And what are you going to do with this unpleasant circumstance? What are you going to do when this person's unloading on you in an unjust way? What are you going to do with this circumstance when somebody's unjustly accusing you, or somebody's so disappointed with you with something maybe you didn't do, or maybe you did do it? Yeah, and then the person's coming now and expressing their bitterness to you. How are you going to handle that situation? Are you going to commit it into the hands of the Lord and say, okay, Father, what are you trying to teach me here? Everything works for good. Nothing comes to the sheep unless it comes to the shepherd. So, Lord, you've allowed this circumstance to come. I would never have chosen this situation myself. I don't want this. This is hard for me. But, Lord, what is it that you want me to learn? And when you have that kind of an attitude, you're not going to start listening to what that person's saying. So, okay, Lord, let me really try to discern and understand what it is that you're trying to say and teach me. So when you start seeing God as the primary cause, the overall cause of all things, and what people say and do and think of us as being secondary things, we can now start to approach things the right kind of a way. And that's how Jesus went through the things that he did. And Jesus, his very nature, he made transgression, he made intercession for the transgressors. The way that he handled that was he prayed even more for those, the people that were doing those things for to him, saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It was a real powerful thing for him to do that. And in the life of Jesus, you'll see that characteristic. He continually overcame himself like this. He never thought of himself. Never put himself to the front. Let me try to prove, no, Caiaphas is wrong. He shouldn't say these things. No, Pilate is wrong. No, these Jews, they're lying about me. He never did that. That's a very interesting. You go and see Jesus. He was as a sheep before a shearer. He was dumb, Isaiah 53 says. He committed everything to the hands of his father because he knew this is the will of God for me. This is my cross that I'm called to bear. Now, he answered at certain times when he had to answer, but he never defended himself. He never came and said, you people are lying against me. How can you? No, he didn't do that. And that's why this is real supreme self-control. This is one of the real, real powerful attributes in the stature of a perfect man. You know, so he never defended himself, but instead all the time in his life, Jesus, he placed the needs of other people ahead of his own. He doesn't mind if his reputation's spoiled, as long as it's of benefit to his disciples. You know, he'll take the heat for other people. He'll say, look, it doesn't matter what they say. They can spit on me. They can lie about me, but it's for the good of my people. others are going to benefit from this. So he didn't always just think about himself. And that's what eternal life is. It's life lived for others. That you're not thinking about yourself. And I was looking at reading a book, a very good book on communication. And they say the very first principle of communication, if you want to communicate effectively with people, is it's not about you. It's about the other person. When you can move out of ego and move out of self and move out of, you know, I want to say this and I want to show people this and start thinking about the people you're speaking to and what do they need to hear? What should I be saying to these people? What's the best for this person that's before me? Not what's best for me, because it's self that gets in the way and causes all of these problems. But it's not about ourselves. Communication, effective communication is, what are they trying to say? You know, what's the best thing I can say to help this person? You know, so it's not just defending ourselves, but it's not easy to do that. So it comes down to putting yourself in their shoes. That's what sympathy really means. That's what this, when we're speaking about this resonance now, you know, that we're speaking about how one, the frequency inside of one person can resonate inside of you. It's putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. Now, Brother Ram says this, we know this quote very well. He says, I want to give you a little secret. The Lord has blessed me greatly, to whom I give praise, for praying for the sick. And I've watched it through these years, and I found it to be the absolute truth. So he's going to give us a secret of his success for praying for the sick. He says he found this to be an absolute truth. I can never, never get my prayer through till actually I get right into the real fellowship with the person I'm praying for. You've got to get down and feel that person's condition. Then redemption could flow in. Then the Holy Ghost could come in. Then the Lord could work through that feeling. Now, if it's going to work like that for praying for sick people, to have to feel for them before you can really help them, is it not going to be the same with us in our communication one with another? You know, if I don't feel for somebody, if somebody comes to me and they're sitting there, I don't really care about them. I don't care about their opinion. I don't care what they're saying. I mean, and they come and they've got some grievance. You're never going to resolve that grievance. You might paper over the cracks. You might put a sticking plaster on the wounds, but you've done nothing that is going to last. In fact, that problem is going to come back, and it's coming back bigger and bite you even more the next time. But the key to it is to enter into the feeling of that person. That's going to need us to really listen. Remember, I read that one, a different kind of a listening. Listening with true understanding. Listening with empathy, sympathy. To say, Lord, help me to get myself out the way. I can see this person's really upset. Help me to understand, what is it that's going on here? Beyond all these words and all this emotion that's taking place. But Lord, grant grace. I want to be able to tune in to understand, because we can't resolve this. We can't even start to resolve this until we connect with one another. And somebody, at least one of the people in this situation, maybe in the conflict and the misunderstanding and the strife, in the, you know, the breakdown of a relationship, at least one of you has to be able to enter into this realm if you're going to want to resolve these differences in the way that they need to be resolved. One person's got to be able to get into the spirit of Christ. One person's got to say, okay, let me lay aside my own feelings. Let me lay aside my own ego, my own self, my own pride. Let me really listen so that we can get to the bottom of this and fix this problem. That's what Brahm says. You've got to get down and feel that person's condition. Now let's develop it a bit further. Where do the troubles come in? Like, let's have a look firstly in relationships, troubles in relationships. Okay, so when a relationship, if all is well, it's heart to heart. So we've got all the five gates. We've got our human spirit, the realm of our affections, our emotions. All the doors are open there. Little red doors are open. Yeah, we have confidence in one another. We trust in one another. You know, when you're sitting down and you talk, you're at ease, your blood pressure's not up. You know, you're feeling relaxed, you're feeling at ease. You're not expecting any hand grenades or any bombs to be dropped on you, because you know this person, you trust this person, your relationship is going well. You know, so your memory is good. You remember the last time you spoke. Your affections, your feelings are good towards the people. So it's a two-way communication. But it doesn't always stay like that. That's the problem, because where the problem comes in, our navigation, our communication, how we connect with one another, it has to navigate through, like we said last week, the fallen realm of our human spirit. So this human spirit of ours is a very changeable thing. It's very susceptible to misunderstanding and, you know, to overreaction and all these kind of things. And this human realm now, the human spirit, is the realm of past memories. You can see these, your emotions, your reasoning. Brahman says the spirit of man is corrupt. You know, it's you be fallen in that particular realm. So as we'll see, when somebody things start going wrong in the relationship and people start trying to bring things across to us, it has to navigate through a lot of other things before it gets through to us. And maybe for them to be able to express it in the right kind of way, it's got to navigate through a lot of fallen human spirit before it gets to us. So sometimes it's not going to be expressed in the perfect way to us either. So, you know, it's quite a battleground, this. It really, really is. But when things are going well in a relationship, it's normally because the love tank is full. You know, we have trust and confidence in the other person. Like I say, you're free to open up. And you're receptive to what the other person says, because, you know, this person cares for me, I care for them. You've got a history, you've got a track record, you know, you've built trust, you've built a relationship together. Even when the honest correction comes or criticism, you're able to listen, take it on board, because you sense it, you feel it, you know, they generally care for you, and they're saying this for your good. You know, they're not saying this to try to hurt you, but they're saying it for your good. But then problems come. Now, one person's not happy. Things brew inside of their heart. Now, every relationship has these kind of times in this fallen world. We all have to go through these kind of times. And now things are said, poisonous things, toxic things, radioactive things, your lightning, all those different symbols inside of there. Whatever said that may be said out of line, said out of place, there may be some truth inside of there. But there's a lot of emotion that's being said from the wrong motive. It's being said from like an angry, disappointed, hurt feelings, an angry heart. So it's coming out in a different kind of a way. We'll see it when you get onto the different laws, the different ways of communicating. But when communication, you'll see this arrow that I put between the people has become very dim now. These kind of situations normally come in when the communication in the relationship is already suffering because of the pressures, complexities of life, you know, hormonal issues, financial pressures, studies, pressure at work, you know, health issue, whatever. You know, so you find that somebody's focus is somewhere else. So maybe they've been worn down. They've got cares and worries and burdens coming from somewhere else. And your communication now starts getting less and less. You don't communicate the way that you used to. Or it might be caused the problem here by things which are said and with unfeelingly, you know, rash words were said. Or things that weren't said that should have been said. Someone forgets an anniversary. Somebody forgets a birthday. Somebody forget. Yeah. Things aren't said. And because of the condition, maybe things aren't the way that they should be. The love tank is not as full as it should be. Things weren't done that should have been done, or were done that shouldn't have been done. And then our human spirit gets involved, and you know, there's insensitivity in the way that it's said. There's misunderstandings. There's so many causes and reasons to bring conflict, you know, to get us out of tune and out of harmony with one another. And things are said. And maybe out of frustration, out of hurt. Maybe they're saying it, wanting to fix the problem, but it's just not said right. It's not the right time, not said in the right way. It's not the right words. It's coming through the fallen human spirit. And because of that, the way that it's been expressed, we start getting feelings that are hurt, painful memories now. And we start, in the human spirit, we start getting wounded now. We didn't like that. It hurt. Hey, that was hard. And you go away and you think about it, and it's in your mind, and you And then it's in your memory. And the next time you come trying to speak, you still remember the last time that somebody said those kind of things to you. You know, so you find that it starts affecting the relationship now. Now it brings us to the power of words. Proverbs 18 again, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words are very powerful things, both to build up or to tear down. Words can wound or words can heal. It really depends on the motive behind what we're saying, the spirit that we say it in, how we say it, when we say it, why we say it, why we're saying these things. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, there's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Yeah, so someone's speaking and it cuts you deep. Brother Raymond, standing in the gap, he says that I've been cut deep many times. It's just people saying these kind of things. Unfeeling words, hard words, it cuts you deep. Because we have a realm inside of there, the realm of our affections. Yeah? This is the realm of our emotional realm. Now, you're going to get wounded now because somebody's lashing out. Somebody's saying unkind, harsh words. Death and life in the power of the tongue. But it says, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So those foolish words, rash words. Rash means words that are just said uncaringly. You didn't think it. It wasn't said at the right time. You shouldn't have said those things the way you said them. Hasty words. Words that even as you're saying them, you know that you're going to regret them. And they cut deep. They can bruise. They can hurt. They can wound. And then he says in Proverbs 18 again, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. So normally if in a good spiritual condition, you can go through a lot. You find people can survive through difficult conditions, concentration camps. People can go through harsh relationship, if all is well inside of the human spirit, in their heart, all is well, they're strong, they can sustain that infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? So the spirit can now get wounded now. And it's hard to bear now. When someone's got a wounded spirit, it's not an easy thing to bear, and it's not an easy thing for you to bear. And it doesn't normally stay as a wounded spirit if it's not dealt with. And the relationships keeps going down in the spiral now because someone's already got a wounded spirit now. Already they defensive in what they say. There's already some heat in the words which they say and the way they respond and the way they're interpreting situations and the other person's words. It can progress onwards to a broken heart. Psalm 69, verse 20. David says, reproach has broken my heart. Reproach is scorn, rebuke, taunt. People saying mean things, people rebuking you, people mocking you, laughing at you, reproach. It says it's broken my heart and I'm full of heaviness. So it weighs you down. You can't sleep properly. You can't be yourself at work because things aren't well in this most important of relationships. Now that's sad that these things have left David brokenhearted. But what's even worse is the end of the verse. It says, and I looked for some to take pity, but there were none. And for comforters, and I found none. So he needed someone to pour in the oil and the wine because he's wounded, he's scarred up, he's hurting inside. The realm of his memory, his reasoning, his emotion, he doesn't understand, but this isn't fair. Why did they say that to me? Why did she say that? Why did he say that? That was cruel, that was hard. And it just builds up and becomes a broken heart. Now, friends, James, in his book, the Holy Ghost inside of James, doesn't spare when he speaks of the destructive power of the tongue. This is what James says. James chapter 3, verse 6. He says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. Yeah. You can speak and so grieve the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you can grieve God totally out of your life by the things that you say. The things we say. You can grieve the blessing right out of your experience. You grieve the Holy Ghost. It can defile your whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. He says, the tongue, it is set on fire of hell. Yay. Many times the spirit that's anointing us and things that we say come straight from hell. There's a real, real bad anointing upon us. And we don't stop there. We just keep on talking. We keep saying hard things, harsh things. And we're cutting someone. We're bruising them. We're hurting them because death and life is in the power of the tongue. And at that time, our tongue is set on fire of hell. Now, you compare this with the potential of the power of the spoken word, that a person can be so surrendered to the Spirit of God that God can put his word inside of your mouth and you can speak to a tumor like the prophet and a tumor will be healed. Or you can speak words and oil and wine will be poured into the broken heart of somebody else and the anointing will heal the brokenhearted. So it really depends on what spirit is governing us, what mood we've allowed, what atmosphere we've allowed around us when we're approaching this communication, especially on these tough kind of issues. What about verse 7? It says, every kind of beast, birds, serpents, things in the sea, you can tame them and have been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Right? Saints, we're going to need the grace of God inside of our lives. Because this little member, he says, a little fire can burn an entire forest. He says, this little tongue can cause a huge amount of problems. That's how we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. That's why the Bible is really trying to exhort us to do that. Because the tongue is in the wrong spirit, used the wrong way, is extremely destructive. It's harsh. You can say something to your children now that if there's another 50 years to come, it'll still be hurting them 50 years from now. You've got to be so careful what we say. You know, I was saying it when I was reading about raising children that some years back, and they were saying that the most important times, I've told quite a number of believers this about children, the words you say to them when they first wake up, you want to affirm your children. You want to speak well to them. You want a good morning. God bless you guys. How are you doing this morning? It's going to be a good day. Even if they're grumpy, they get out of bed. You don't want to be starting your day. The first thing you do is you get in the bedroom and you're criticizing your children. Why did you do this? No, you don't want to start your day like that. If you want to build your children up emotionally to be able to handle the stresses of Laodicea, the stresses of the peer pressure and that, they say that's the one important time. The second thing is, when they leave for school or when you drop them at school, the last words you say, the conversation you're having with them, that you're going to have a good day, whatever that it's going to be, you're building them up. Then as soon as they come home from school, they've been in the battlefield, they've been out there. Yeah, I'm sure it applies as well to husbands and wife, and one goes to work and so forth. When they first come back now, it's very, very important how you communicate with them positively at that time, edifying like the Bible says. And then the last thing is just before they go to sleep at night. The last things you're going to say to them before they go to bed. You don't want people to be lying on their beds at night so disappointed with what you've said to them, so hurt and so wounded by unkind words that you said at the end of the day. And they're lying there. And now the devil's never far away. You know, I really love that advice. You know, sometimes it's not that easy to do, but I've always tried to do that. And I think if you'd apply that in all relationships, it would really help our relationships. The Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. No, don't go to bed and leave situations where people are angry and disappointed. This is going to fester. No, it's better to deal with these things as quickly as we possibly can. So this tongue, it can be such a virtuous thing because the very word of healing can proceed from your mouth. The word of salvation come and bring somebody eternal life. That the word of the gospel can bring people to Christ. The power of the tongue, but it's full of deadly poison, James said, if you're not careful. It can be a very powerful, destructive influence. So let's get back to this rocky relationship that's on stormy seas. So now they're starting to speak to each other. Now one's already hurt and wounded. Now he's saying more and more. So she starts lashing back again. There's a reaction to an action. And things maybe that are in her memory, painful things in the past that she hasn't spoken of, she starts bringing them. Now you say this, but what about when you did this? You never did this to me last year and you never did this. And then that even hurts. Now he starts getting wounded as well. Now he starts bringing things up from his memory. And this is a battle that's going on here. Or when he's really speaking harsh and rude and saying unkind things, it might get to another stage. She might just close the door inside of herself. She might be sitting there and he's saying all of these things, but she shuts herself off now. Doesn't matter what he says. She shuts him out completely. I'm not interested because it's painful what he's saying. She doesn't want to have to listen to this. And this closing of the door, first it's inward. You know, when you start to close the door on somebody, and then it becomes increasingly outward. It's a defense mechanism because of inward pain. Someone's really hurting you. You don't feel you can take much more of that, so you block it out now. You don't want to listen to them anymore. And it can become even more and more destructive if she now closes the door and now she's not truly saying what she needs to say. She's letting it be all bottled up inside of her. You know, so she's closed it in, but it's still there. Those thoughts and that hurt and those words that have been said and the things she wishes she could have said haven't gone away. They're brewing inside of there in the human spirit. And now she's doing the vacuuming. The children are wondering why she's knocking everything down with the vacuum cleaner. And, you know, she's dusting the cobwebs and bashing things around. It's because of this pressure that's building up inside. Because she's closed the door and it's a pressure cooker now inside of her. And it's just a matter of time before things explode because the relationships become a time bomb now. Now you've got these wounded spirits, things are being closed off, they're not speaking to each other. Yeah, and that already spiritually there's a separation. There's no inward connection. They've separated from each other spiritually. In the realm of the human spirit, there's no emotional attachment anymore. They don't even want to talk to each other. And then the next thing, they don't talk to each other. The next thing, they're sleeping in different bedrooms. The next thing, where does it get to? The separation goes on and on and on. And when there's an explosion, when there's a civil war like this, there's always collateral damage, which is the children and friends who get caught between. Yes, these are very destructive things, very destructive situations. There's nothing harder than these kind of situations. And it all starts with the breakdown of communication. And it gets to this stage because there was no reconnection again. There was no communication to clear the channels again. So it just gets into the spiral now. And now they're living two people in a house, ships passing in the night. One sleeps here, one sleeps there. They just grunt once in a while to each other, a yes and a no. And that's it. And friends, what a miserable life that is. You don't want it to be like that. So that's one stage where the breakdown in communication, it can affect relationships like this. The second way is when you meet somebody new, you get in a relationship or you want to testify to someone, you meet someone at work and people have got a lot of baggage from the past. It's not you that put this inside of their life, but you meet up with people that have already got a lot of baggage in the past. And you're trying to connect with them. You're being honest from your heart. You're trying to have a heart-to-heart talk with people. It's very hard to communicate with people that have got baggage from the past. Wounds, scars, complexes, suppressed painful memories of the past. Maybe closed doors. There's certain things they'll never speak of. They don't want, you know, that you can see. But this person never really seems to express their feelings. They've just become ice cold inside. They've closed the door. It was because of what they've been through. They never express their feelings to people or their memories. They never open up. They only let you come so far and no further in your communication with them. And the relationship can only go that far because communication is such an important part of developing the relationship. So it might be you don't have anything to do with that, but you meet up with people like that. Now, what is the solution to these kind of situations? Well, someone's going to have to possess the gates of the enemy. And that your gates, your memory, your reasoning, your feelings, your emotions, those things, you've got to possess those things. You've got to take dominion over your feelings, take dominion over your wounded ego. You've got to take dominion and say, for the greater good, I'm willing to take up my cross the way that Christ took up his cross. I want redemption. I want restoration to come in here. So one person at least has to overcome themselves. Somebody's got to do that. Otherwise, this is just a doomed relationship. Unless you bring somebody else in, you bring a mediator, try to let off pressure like that. Somebody's going to have to allow the healing process to begin. And that means I put it on the side there. They've got to take their own little wounds and their own little hurt feelings and lay them aside. Yeah, they've got to take their own little feelings inside of their heart and say, this isn't important now. Those things can be resolved. And the most important thing is now, I've got to connect with this person again. We've got to find some common ground. We've got to, and that's the only way that you can start to fix this situation. Now, out of all the quotes that I've read in the message, there's a lot of powerful ones. This is one of the ones that has helped me the most. And that's why you'll, when you see it, you know this quote. But I want to bring it in this context now. What are you going to do in this situation if you're the husband and you've allowed your relationship with your wife to come to that? What are you going to do if you're a mother and you'd like that with your daughter or your father with your children or your whatever, you with your mother, whatever, you know, a child with a mother, married woman who's fallen out with your mother. Now, the relationship has come to this situation. What is the very first thing that you need to do? Take a man to pray before God. Now, I'm just going to read two sections from this quote. And I know from personal experience that this, if you do this with all your heart, prayerfully and genuinely, it works 100% of the time. This will never fail, no matter what the situation is. So Brahma says, if you want to be a blessing and get a blessing, when a man has done you wrong, now to put man, they put wife, husband, child, pastor, deacon, minister, cousin, teacher, whoever the person is that's done you wrong and has hurt you, put them there. When someone's done you wrong, and he says, and he absolutely just, I mean, he's done you wrong, and you know that he's done you wrong. In fact, he's done you evil. It was evil. It wasn't just someone made a mistake and did you wrong. There was thought, malice in it. There was a motive behind what they did. They did you evil intentionally. He says, don't mention that. You take him to pray before God. Now, this is where you're getting on to sympathy. This is really getting into empathy. This is really getting onto common ground. If you're going to stay in your human spirit, you're going to make it worse. You've got to come out of your human spirit. You've got to overcome that human spirit. You've got to come to the cross and take up your cross. So you come to pray before the Lord. You take him to pray before God. And then he speaks a little bit more about how you should pray, but I'm skipping. He says, then let God go talking to you. And you'll see maybe what that man's been through. You'll start having a look and say, okay, oh my. The Lord will start giving you a feeling. Oh, I never realized that person went through this and this in the days of their youth, or they went through a failed relationship before, or you know, they've been through, there's a history behind everything. And when you start praying and you really start praying for that person, and the Lord starts, that the anointing comes and God starts dealing with you and starts giving you an understanding spirit. This is the kind of spirit you're going to be able to listen properly to somebody in. You now start thinking and say, my, maybe it's menopause. That's why she slammed the door in my face. Like the prophet, it's menopause. Or maybe it's your children. It's the teenage, adolescence. Maybe that's why they behave like that. You know, so you're not just taking everything personally, but, oh, no, my poor little hurt feelings. But you're saying, I don't want damage in this relationship. Satan wants to work here. Now, friends, I resolved inside of myself as a husband and as a father. I'm not going to allow the devil ever to win. It doesn't mean the devil doesn't sometimes come in and you don't have misunderstandings and you have some words and stuff. But I've resolved inside of myself, I will never allow that to linger. I hear sometimes of saints and they don't talk for days, husbands and wives. You know, they go for days, silence in the home. You're allowing the devil to win. You should never admit defeat like that. If you find the thing, this the relationship has got to a stage, the pressure's built up like that, you can just feel it's not the way that it should be. There's a breakdown of communication. That's a declaration of war against you and your relationship. So we need to respond accordingly. We need to say, no, I'm not going to accept this. The Lord has given us dominion over all things. He has given us power over all the powers of the enemy. So we can cast the devil out of the situation. That's only the first part. The second part, now we've got to listen with an understanding ear so that person can really express why they feel the way that they do. But first, we've got to deal with the devil in the issue, because he loves to come into these situations. So the prophet says, and let God go talking to you, and you'll see maybe what that man's been through, or maybe what you put them through. Or maybe you'll start saying, hey, I was really so unkind to my wife, or so unkind to my husband. I was unfeeling there. I was more concerned about myself. I was selfish there, whatever that it was. Let the Lord go speaking to you. He says, the devil has twisted him up somewhere and caused him to do that. So maybe their reaction, the devil got into them and made them react like that. Maybe they said curse words at you. Maybe they spoke evil things like they said to Jesus. Friends, I've never had anybody yet spit in my face. I've never had anybody pluck out my beard. I've never yet had somebody beat me on my head with the rods. But Jesus did. And look at the way that he handled the situation. He prayed for those people. Can you see the prophet here is hitting an absolute key to problems in relationships? Is you've got to bring Christ into the situation. And to bring Christ in the situation, you've got to get yourself out the way. You've got to get your own little petty feelings out the way. I've got to get my own little hurt pride out of the way. Because that's hindering the process of redemption from working, the process of restoration from starting in the relationship. So I've got to myself go to the Lord in prayer. Before, I said, don't get too involved in conversation when you're hot under the collar, you're angry, you're disappointed with somebody, you're going to make it worse. Go and pray about it like this first. Go and pray about that person. He says, go and say, Lord, this person did me evil. You know they did me. I don't know why they did that. Then let God go talking to you. And then the Lord maybe will start showing it. You see, do you know what that person went through? For that person still to be coming to church, do you know that's quite a miracle because of what they've been through in their life? And the Lord maybe will say, do you know, I put that person in your life so that you can help them. Because the people before that should have helped them, never helped them and made situations worse. And you, the one that maybe can break the cycle, if you can communicate to this person in the right way, if you can connect with this person. Now look in this prayer line. I'm just going to jump out of this quote and then finish it up. But listen in the prayer. He's speaking about, you'll see maybe what that man's been through. This is a prayer line. Listen how the prophet, when the spirit of discernment comes upon him and he discerns this particular believer. He says, now, life hasn't been, I'm going to read the previous quote before you get here. He says, the devil has twisted him up somewhere. Though he's absolutely wrong, before you leave the throne of God, you'll be feeling sorry for that man. Can you see sympathy now? You'll be feeling sorry for that man. You'll be sympathizing with that brother. And when you get back down to earth again, you'll go over to that brother and shake his hand because you know what he's been through. Now, look in this prayer line. He says, now, life hasn't been a flower bed of ease for you. For swinging between you and me comes a long, dark road. So when the Lord now wanted to show the prophet under discernment a representation of this person's life, he saw a long, dark road. This person had been through a lot of dark, hard things. And that's why they were standing in the prayer line. So maybe that a lot of things that people are saying, shake yourself. What's wrong with you? Why are you so nervous? Why are you this? Why are you that? Why are you the other? But when the prophet connected with their spirit, he first had to understand where they were coming from, what they'd been through. And the Lord showed him, oh, you've come from a long, dark road. He then says in another prayer line, he says, you're a victim of circumstances. You've got things wrong with you. Isn't that right? And he names them. Well, I cut them out there. But she had a lot of things wrong with her health, this sister. You're nervous, aren't you? Extremely nervous. Life hasn't been pleasant to you either. Seems like a string, yes, down through the, a great dark string. So one thing after another, a string of dark things in the life of the person. And now they have nervousness and all these things that must affect them in their relationships. And maybe no one's ever been able to connect with this person to truly understand why they feel the way that they do. Why they've shut certain doors. Why they've got certain wounds and scars. But the prophet connected in and he says, I can never, never help somebody unless I can put myself in their shoes and feel what that person is feeling. So he's given us a real, real key here in dealing with these high-pressured situations, these emotional, relational problems and scars and wounds and misunderstandings and disappointments and frustrations. He's really showing us you've got to start to understand the other person. So the first part of understanding them, you go and pray to the Lord to give you an understanding. Then, seeking his grace, you now start to try to connect with the person themselves to get an understanding. So you're going to need to be a real good listener. Now let's finish the Great Commission, that quote about taking a man to prayer. You can't stand with a mortal in the presence of God and condemn anybody. I don't believe, no, sir, even if he's a rank sinner. And what about a brother that just made a mistake? Friends, you can't condemn. When you stand in the presence of God, you'll absolutely feel sorry for even the worst of sinners, because that's what Jesus did. When he was on the cross, he felt sorry for those people that nailed him to the cross. That's the Spirit of Christ. That's the kingdom of God. But the problem is we have this fallen human spirit. We have this battlefield in the mind, the battleground. And we have all these scars and wounds, and we misunderstand things. We get disappointed with things. We allow things to breed, and to we brood over things we shouldn't brood over. And the pressure builds and makes it even worse. And then we get complexes, and we're far too sensitive to situations now. And it all comes down to communication and a breakdown in communication, not being able to release the pressure, not being able to harmonize with one another, to connect with one another through communication. That's why I just wanted to show the importance of communication in this kind of a way. Now he says, what about a brother that made a mistake? If you can feel for a sinner, what about your wife? What about your husband? What about your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad? What about brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so? Put their name there. You can't stand in the presence of God and condemn any other mortal. You will end up having a sympathy for them and wanting to come and connect and see if there's something you can do to help, something that you can do to reconnect. Now, as we come to a close, I'm thankful that God looked beyond my faults and he saw my need. Yeah, that's the nature of Christ. That's real communication. You're not looking at the person's faults. You're looking at their need. It's not about you. It's about them. That's real effective communication. When you can enter into it like that. If I come to preach and all I'm looking at is the faults of people, hey, that's not going to be very nice. But if the Lord can help me to feel the need, what is it that people need? And I can get myself out the way. Our communication is going to have some benefit. We're going to have a connection in our communication. There's going to be virtue. How much more in a conversation between you and somebody else? You've got to come to that stage that you really overcome self and you can look beyond the faults of the person and you can now move into that realm where things can start to be done. You start connecting with their need. You start feeling for the person. You start doesn't mean you justify them. Doesn't mean you agree with them. But you see their need. You understand why. That there's extenuating circumstances. There's things you hadn't yet considered. The scripture down there, Romans 5 verse 8. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God didn't look at our faults. He saw our need. And he sent Christ down into the world. Because he only knew the nature of God, the Spirit of God. His desire was, I can't leave them like that. They're scarred, they're wounded, they've been overcome. They've got all of these things through the fall. I'll have to go and die for them. I'll have to send my son down into the midst of them to meet their need. And that's what real communication is. It's when you start meeting somebody's need. You start understanding first their need and then start finding ways to meet the need. That brings us to the final one, or the third one, which we'll get on to next time. We've already hitting this as we're growing up, going up the ladder here. We've already looked at the first part, expressing yourself, opening up, heart-to-heart conversation at the right time, in the right way. The second power, we've been looking at listening and responding the right way. We're now in this third power. We'll understand it a bit more next time. Regulating attention. So being able to pay attention to what the person's saying, dodging the hand grenades a little bit when they throw a bomb at you through their frustrations. Okay, that doesn't matter. I'm not going to worry about that. What are they still trying to say? Getting yourself back on course to continue to listen to what they're saying. And you're showing emotional intelligence. You're using intelligence in the way that you overcoming self. You are restraining your human spirit from expressing things you would like to express because it's not what that person needs. What they're needing is an understanding ear. What they're needing is to unload these things. What they're needing sometimes is just a chance to let off the pressure so that things can come down to a manageable level inside of them. Then you can start to talk about the real issues that they are. We'll understand that one there a little bit better on, but that's going to have to wait for 2024 by the grace of God before we get on to that. So just to say to everybody in this season, may the Lord richly bless you. To those we won't be meeting with until next year. To those who do, I know some people don't in any way want anything to do with Christmas. May the Lord bless you in this season. To those people who like people to say happy Christmas, have a very happy Christmas. And don't forget that Jesus is the reason for this season. You know, that really, really is what it's all about. So may the Lord richly bless you as we pray. Father, we all realize that we need your grace. We need your mercy and your help in these things, Lord. Father, with this fallen human spirit, this black horse, Father, that sometimes we feed and then we wonder why he expresses himself the way that he does. But Father, you help us, Lord, not just to be hearers of the word, but to look in the mirror, Lord, and Father, to be them that pay heed. Because, Lord, you said you'll bless them indeed. They that look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein shall be blessed. So you help us in these things, Lord. Forgive us when we've fallen short in these things, Lord. And help us, Lord. Teach us. You are the great teacher, Lord. Even as you teach us in all things, help us, Lord, to be better in these things, Lord, we pray. And may you bless your people. May you bless every heart and every soul, every family, every relationship, Lord, every youth, every child. We pray for each and every one, Lord. And as we enter into the season of Christmas, thinking of when you stepped down, Lord, because you saw our need and you are born right into this world so you could come down to where we are, so you could raise us up to where you are. Oh, Father, help us to be like you. May you bless your people, bless the remainder of this fellowship, them that you won't see again for the remainder of the year. May you bless them in the name of Jesus until we meet again. And Father, we commit this into your hands for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you. That's the end of the Bible study. If anybody would like to ask any questions or say anything or contribute to anything. I know there's quite a few people on YouTube as well. If anybody has any question, just send it to me on WhatsApp and I'll try my best to answer it. If anybody's on YouTube, communication. I wouldn't ask for a show of hands to say who's good at this because we'd have to repent afterwards, many of us, and say, yeah, I'm sorry about that. It's a skill that we really need the Holy Ghost to continue to teach us. And especially that one there of the power of sympathy. Being able to enter in to feel for somebody and to understand maybe why they're behaving the way they are, to see their need, not just to see their faults. Anybody there, saints, before we finish off? Otherwise, we'll get an early one. Otherwise, we'll finish the year on that note. Next week, like I say, no Bible study. We'll continue in the new year by the grace of God. Yeah, next week is Christmas. It's an amazing thing. Okay, saints, let's ask Brother Georgie, you pray for us again, please, Brother Georgie, and let's close there. And God bless you until we meet again, saints. Have a good week. Meet some saints on Friday. Meet some on Sunday. Meet some whenever the Lord grants us to meet.
Pastor, thanks for all the Bible studies throughout the year. God bless you richly.
Amen. Thanks, man.
May you see your fruits beyond the curtain of time.
Amen.
Father, we thank you so much, Lord, precious Savior. We've been fed, oh God, throughout this year on this channel, Lord Father, day, Lord Father, by day. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your goodness, for, Lord, how your word has come again in volumes, Father, pertaining this one of communication. Father, how easy it is, Lord Father, oh God, to leave a brother or a sister, Lord Father, scarred and marred, oh God. Father, help us, Lord, precious Savior, to be, Lord Father, oh God, Lord, quick thinkers, oh God. Lord Father, as the prophet would have said, Lord, to Lord Savior, check 9 times and cut once. Father, to think quick before we speak, oh God. We pray your grace. We pray, oh God, that we may oil ourselves and anoint ourselves with thine grace and thine presence, O God. Father, for Lord, deep within us, there's the great communication of life, the great communicator, Lord, and you always communicating unto us, O God. You always speaking unto us, O God. Father, Lord, many a time we go throughout the day and we ignore that voice that is paying, Lord, bidding us, Lord, Father, to do something, O God, and we come to the end of it, Lord. Father, Lord, precious Savior, in a place where we should have slipped and fell, but you protected us, Lord. But you always show us, O God, and we come back and we say, we are sorry, O God. Father, Lord, Savior, for our numbness and our dullness, O God. Desiring, Lord, Father, that the next time we would do it better, O God. And then the next time, Lord, Father, we make the same mistake, O God. O God, we thank you, Lord, Savior, for, oh, precious Savior, wretched man that I am. Woe is me, Lord Father, a man undone, Lord Savior. But Lord, precious Savior, my greatness is because of your blood. Anything that I'm worth, Lord Savior, is because, Lord Father, of the cross, oh God. Yes. But Lord, if I could just clothe myself in humility, Lord, clothe myself in Christ, I may be a good husband. I may go be a good father. I may go be a good brother. I may be a good sheep. Lord, Father, I may do all the things that you've called me to do, Father, Lord, Savior, with Christ before me, Lord, Savior, God. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your goodness, Lord, how you bring these things constantly, Lord, Father, to our attention, oh, God. We believe, Lord, Savior, these are the things that you want us to focus upon. Lord, Father, seeing all these interviews that I've been through, it's not about me. It's not about we. It's about me, oh, God. They don't want to know about us. They want to know about you, want to know about me, oh, God. It's me and you, that personal relationship, Lord, Savior. Savior God, the prayers where we pray for our church, we pray for our pastor, but what about the prayers that we should pray for Lord Savior oneself, oh God, that we can say, who am I, oh God, that thou hast done these things for us, Lord Savior God? Amen. Who am I, Lord Savior, that you would bring such words, Lord Savior, of wisdom to me, Lord, on every Tuesday night, Lord Savior God? Lord, Father, continue to bless, continue to guide us, and continue to pour out, Lord, your grace through our pastor. Bless him, prosper him in all that he does, oh God. Grant him grace, grant him victories anew, Lord Savior, we pray. Oh, that Lord Savior, when we come, Lord Savior, into the new year, we'd be, Lord, as the prophet would say, marching the victors march. Oh God, Amen. Lord Savior, Father, winning, Lord Savior, the battle for thee, oh God. Lord, where it's not us that liveth, Lord, but Christ that dwelleth within us, oh God. It's not us that's doing anything, oh God, but we are totally yielded and surrendered unto thee, oh God. Father, precious Savior, be with us, help us, O God. Guide us, O God. And as the prophet would have said, Lord, keep us from saying the wrong things. And yes. Lord, Father, bid us to say the right things, O God. Oh, Father, how good it is to say the right things, O God. And it's pleasant to the Holy Spirit, O God. We thank you, we love you for the presence that has been with us this year. Keep us now. Be with us, Lord. Be with all, we pray again. Give, restore virtue unto our pastor until we meet in church and we meet on this platform next year. We thank you for this that was given unto us 2023. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Saints, I'll just quickly answer a question that I just received here. What do you do when somebody is hurting, trying to put on a brave face, and doesn't even know how to start communicating with someone? Well, I'd say there's two ways to go about that, depending on who you are and where you are. Is number one, sometimes if you find it very difficult to express your feelings, you find you get too emotional on that, write it down. You could put it in that kind of a way. You could send it to somebody and they can read it and they can see what you're feeling. And it takes you time also to pray over the things that you're trying to express. You might find when you start talking, it becomes too emotional. Maybe there's too much baggage. So that's one way of doing it. Another way is you need a mediator. You know, you need somebody to help. So you go to your pastor, go to the ministers, deacons. You go and you find somebody else that you can talk to them, somebody that you trust. You can offload it, and then they can give you wisdom as to the right things to say and the things that you shouldn't say. Or they could even be the one to start the process of speaking to the other person on your behalf, so that the pressure is released on both sides. You release the pressure, you know, maybe to the minister, and then they go now to the other person and say, look, maybe, even if it's a husband and wife and the relationship's got very, very bad, sometimes you need to do those kind of things. Let the husband speak to the pastor, say everything, let him filter everything, let him speak then to the wife. She puts her side, and then you start bringing a reconciliation. That's what Job was looking for. He called it a dazed man. Someone who could stand between him and God. He needed a mediator, somebody who could listen to him, take it to God, listen to God, and bring it to him. That's what he was looking for. So that's two ways of doing it, depending on who the person is and the issue that you're dealing with. But like I say, another way to do it, if you find it hard to express, is write it down and pray over it. Each sentence that you write, maybe you have to cross out a few things and rewrite the thing again until you express what you're wanting to express. Give it to the person and let the person read it, and they will have time to digest it without having too much emotion, as sometimes comes when things have got bad in a face-to-face meeting. So hope that helps, but that's what I would do. So God bless you, saints. Have a good night. May the Lord richly bless you until we meet on the weekend. God bless. Oh, big man. God bless.
God bless you, Pastor.
The Chaba brothers. God bless.
God bless. I'm on my own here.
God bless. God bless each and every one, saints.
Who's the person beside you? I've never seen him before.
Yeah. We just adopted her. Got her from the zoo.